Right now, though, it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. It is time to bring in none other than Cynthia Hosswinder, who's in the middle studio. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning. And do you have company?
I don't see her. And wow, with the compass like it is today, we'll see. Maybe she'll turn in.
It's always a mystery.
And we also have Janet Manko on the telephone. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
Doing okay. How is everybody?
Fine. Two 90-degree days in a row, we're fine.
Yeah, it feels like summer. Isn't that great?
I like it.
All right. So now, we'll start off with a story that is devastating. I guess it's devastating to us because of the age whenever something like this happens. But Stephen Wingard, who was a commercial diver, died. And they're trying to figure out what happened when he was actually diving in a commercial instance to fix something.
Right. And he's a Falls Village kid, very young, 25 years old. His parents, very nice, Jerry and John Wingard. Jerry has been a wrestling coach in the area for many years.
Do you know, this kid was like one of the best wrestlers ever to come out of this area.
Yeah, we actually had a quote from the Connecticut wrestling website sort of saying, you know, this is how exceptional he was. He did this, some of his accomplishments. But and his mom, Joan Wingard, used to be the librarian at Lee Kellogg School and is the one who organizes their lasagna dinner. So very, very sad incident.
Yeah.
And parents just devastated. And as you said, you know, died in a diving accident. They're not quite sure what happened. There's a coverage in the Post Star, the local paper, that's very good, and they were saying it was blunt force trauma to the chest, but they don't know what caused it, and it's unusual for a diver to go down alone. They're not really. There's a lot of a lot of questions that haven't been answered yet. But
sad story, absolutely crushing story. The class of 2019, I got a picture there.
Yeah, you know, in the years when I was covering Housatonic, I feel like it often rained, and I believe they had beautiful weather and some nice tents out on the green. And we had Cordelia Schiller and Tom Brown and Patrick Sullivan there, and just a nice, happy, relaxed class. You know, every class has a personality. This one seems very, very ready to get to work and roll their sleeves up and take on the world.
Now, you've got a story, Cynthia, about the two bears that came to dine at a Salisbury home.
Which is very funny.
And you got great pictures from it. But here's the update. I just saw it on Facebook this morning. The same place posted a picture of the two bears that came back this morning.
Right, and skipped the trap.
And skipped the trap that was there.
Yeah. So this story is so funny because basically I just interviewed John Harney, and he's so hilarious. And he was at a house up in Taconic, and apparently these bears were very quiet because there were two of them in a small kitchen rumbling around, and he mostly heard car horns honking. And then he heard something fall, and he thought, oh, I'll go. I mean, you would think that if you had two bears in your kitchen that you would know right away.
Yeah.
But they broke the screen door. They broke the screens, not the door, and squeezed through. And then, you know, they're big, but I guess they're like mice. They can squeeze into smaller spaces. And then you just have to read John's description. It's so funny. And then down around the corner, Hicks Marino had two bears possibly the same. And so the DEP policy is if they're in your house, once they've gone into a residence, then they have to be destroyed. So if you – and people keep posting stuff and going like, ha, 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 there was a bear in my – you know, whatever. So you need to call the DEP because – and also the if you can take photos, don't just send them to us at the Lakeville Journal. Send them to the DEP because they're trying to – you know, what they want to do is make sure if they're going to destroy a bear, they want to be 100% sure that that was the bear that was in at the house. So it's very helpful to them if you can photograph it.
And also – don't leave a screen door unlocked, or don't leave a screen door open. You know, with the main door with bears around like they are nowadays.
Because especially in an area where you see the bears a lot.
Almost every screen door leads to a kitchen,
yeah.
And of course they're going to smell and they're going to go right in. So
if
you don't like bears being euthanized,
close your wood door.
Close your wood door. Very simple.
And keep your garbage inside. And people keep saying to me, well, I take my bird feeder in at night. And Paul Riga, the wildlife biologist, said, it doesn't matter if you bring it in at night. They're out during the day.
Yeah.
So if you have a bird feeder, they're going to come by your house. But once they come by, they're not going to just stop with the bird feeder. They're going to look for something better. Raisins, apparently, were very popular with these bears.
I'll be sorry to see these two go because they're magnificent beasts that have come by the house numerous times. And but if you want to stop bears from being euthanized, just be a little bear smart and just don't leave your screen door there so they can go right through when they smell food. It's just if it bothers you that much, follow the rules, and you won't see them euthanized like that. On to the other side of the page, and there is our U.S. representative once again.
She's been great about coming here, and she's so impressive. And we don't usually know when she's going to be someplace. She just shows up. But she brought her dog to the Great Country Mutt Show, which was huge success, another brilliant Bunny Williams production over in Cornwall for the Little Guild. And so Johanna brought her dog and her awesomeness. And if you ever get a chance to meet her, she's just so impressive, and we're so lucky to have her.
Actually going on today at Town Hall and Sharon at 4 o'clock, the state update on their procedures of dealing with hospitals like Sharon Hospital.
And this is a different thing, I believe, and we keep getting corrected on this, but I believe that the state Office of Health Strategy was invited here by the Save the Sharon Hospital group.
Yes.
So it's not like a couple weeks ago, Sharon Hospital and HealthQuest, which is now part of New Vance with the Western Connecticut Health Network, they came and did their own presentation on their community update as they're required to do. This is a separate, just sort of a chance for the state to answer questions about the merger.
It's for people to understand how the state does its oversight, right, and how they can get in touch. That's exactly what this meeting is about. Just, hey, we're here, we do oversight. This is how you contact us. These are the reasons why you would contact. It's basically an informational session for people that think that there's no oversight and that want to get involved.
Well, yeah. And it's important information to know about, because this is how you will know what's going on at Sharon Hospital and keep an eye on it and see what they're supposed to be doing.
That's it. So, all right, now I'm going to go inside. The Green Watch, salad season is on the wane. No.
I know, I said that too. So Janice Siller is the farmer at the Ottima Farm. And it's always surprising to me that most people I know who are very accomplished vegetable gardeners only do one planting of lettuce. And I think that with somebody like Jana, who's running a big farm and who's a great writer, by the way, we're very lucky to have her. Her thing is like, it's too late. You're done with all the greens. Just start paying attention to your other stuff. But I always succession plant lettuce, and you just have to keep an eye on it and, you know, pick it a little faster before it bolts. But she's explaining why it is that farmers consider the greens season to be done. But I don't know.
It's like in corn season, Daisy Hill Farm does something. They plant corn at different times.
Yeah.
So they always have corn later than anybody else.
Right.
Because they plant it, so it keeps coming and coming and coming and coming. So
there must be something about the physics of their property too, or the biology of it. Because they all do succession planting, which is great.
After the salad's on the wane, but rhubarb.
Yeah, Carolyn McDonough had written The Country Cook for us, and you know, people kind of every now and then wander in and they'll do that for a while. We just love that column, and we love Carolyn. And she'll often email and comment on one of the food stories in the health page. So she has some tips on cooking with rhubarb. And I'm, you know, a relative newcomer to rhubarb, and I'm a little hostile to it. But Carolyn likes it, and so great tips from her on how to cook it, because it's still growing, even though it's not the thin stalks, but you can still pick it and cook with it. It's great. And make rhubarb simple syrup, which is the recipe we ran a few weeks ago.
Nice story on Make Music Day in Kent.
I keep running into Hal Lefferts all of a sudden. Yeah. Of course, Hal Lefferts here in the Hal Lefferts building. And there he was down in Kent with his new band. And Make Music Day, something started in France in the 80s, has been coming here to the Northwest Corner, thanks to the Northwest Arts Council. And nice concerts all over. And Lance Christensen, who's also an accomplished musician, said it was great.
All right, on top of the world with the Kent Library.
They always, you know, Kent's a beautiful town with beautiful homes, and they always manage to find a different beautiful location for their auction every year. So once again, they've succeeded with a very, very high mountaintop property owned by the Hoadleys.
And inside, outside, upside.
With Danielle Mailer, who's just great. She's just a wonderful person, and was the art teacher at Indian Mount School, and I believe she's now still up at Salisbury School, and just one of these beloved local people, and so funny and so interesting, and does great work with these kids. And so her work is up at the Lee Kellogg, or the D.M. Hunt Library in Falls Village, and she had an interesting talk with C.B. Wismar, one of our occasional theater reviewers, and talked about like how her art came to be and the interesting path that she followed in her life, her interesting parents.
And Cornwall went to the dogs.
Sometimes you have trouble getting people to go to activities and events, but this was not hard to get anybody to go to. I had three people all sending me beautiful photos from there, and it was just such a funny idea. It's going to be huge. So Bunny Williams again who's just been unstoppable with all the work that she's been doing for the community. She is like a one-person economic development commission. And among the many things she's organized this year was a country mutt dog show. And, of course, every dog was a winner and got a ribbon. But they had the funniest categories, like dog that looks the most like its owner. And they had a contest for the dog that had the funniest procedure for sitting in its owner's lap when the owner's in a chair. So we'll look forward to having this every year.
All right, and it's not that far off, but you've got a story already. Peter Steiner will be signing copies of his book at the annual Sharon Summer book signing.
Yes, and so the website with the list of authors for the Sharon book signing, it's not the regular library website. Yeah. So we've got the link to the book signing website here, but it's coming up August 2nd. That'll be the Friday night, and there'll be drinks, and there'll be private dinners at a few homes. Those seem to sell out so quickly that they don't actually tell us about them anymore, but they are holding them. And Peter Steiner, who's one of my favorite writers and is just the loveliest guy, he's our very popular Lakeville Journal opinion page cartoonist, but he's also, as many cartoonists are, he's a very accomplished painter. His work is up at the Hotchkiss Library of Sharon, and he's a very good writer and has been writing thrillers for several years, all of which I love. So he's got a new series about trying to be a good cop in during the rise of the Nazi era.
All right. On the next page, the exhibit Blown Away, when Cathedral Pines and all of Cornwall basically lost just about every tree that there was.
Yes. And, you know, this is before I came here. But for all the years that I've been here, people always say, like, oh, you know, Cathedral Pines. It's very it's an iconic event, like the flood of 1955. And so I'll need to go over actually and see this exhibit because I don't really know that much about it. But a great story by Leela Hawken, an exhibit created by Cornwall native Paper Buck, who grew up wandering through the remains of the forest and did some research on what exactly happened, and really a great show for the Cornwall Historical Society.
And Mr. Bramley, I think, was first selectman of Cornwall when that happened, and I spoke to him on the phone the day after it happened, and I said, anybody advice that coming to Cornwall? He said, well, first of all, you got to stay out of Cornwall till we clean things up, but then when you come, make sure you bring your sunglasses and hats because there's no more trees.
Right. Yeah.
They faced that devastation with the greatest,
that's
just
Cornwall.
The way they did it.
That's Cornwall. Like, oh, we got a big storm. Make some muffins. Yeah. Your wood-fired stove.
Infrastructure, easements, and legal fees.
Janet, did you want to say something about that?
No.
Okay. Town meeting in Salisbury sounded pretty dry, but a massive agenda. And so I went. Patrick was on vacation, and all sorts of interesting, like, little hidden history things going on there. So part of it was the ongoing road and water works projects that are happening in Salisbury and Lakeville. So that's a three-part project. Parts of it had to be sent out again for bid, and as often happens, as always happens in these cases, prices went up and they had to raise an additional amount of money. And then there's a very interesting, like, sounds so boring, but there was a swap of an old easement on property on Long Pond, and it's land that used to be owned by this famous a summer camp here called the Cedars, which is one of the most famous resorts in the country, and there's like no trace of it. And really,
It was huge.
And huge stars there. And one of the last remaining traces was that the town had an easement so that they could get, so that everybody could get access to like the power and the water. And they're no longer needed. I think it's been largely abandoned, that particular piece of the property, since the 60s. But then another part of the story is that the Long Pond Dam was about to break a few years ago. And after many years of discussion and a lot of complicated research into who exactly owns the dam and was going to be liable for that property, the town ended up taking easements for all of the property around the pond, and so that the state and the government could come in and fix the dam. So there was a swap. At that point, the people who owned the Yarnell, Betty, anyway, it's in the article. But so they got this, they gave this new easement to the town, and at that time they should have shut down this old easement, which is no longer of any use. So complicated, very interesting story, in my opinion.
All right, an upcoming forum on high-speed communications.
Yes, this is going to be very interesting no matter what town you live in. Everybody's talking about this 5G thing, and the idea with 5G is it's much faster, and it allows you to transfer a lot more information on your phone, which, face it, we're all doing it. But it requires a lot more of these little boxes that have to be placed – you know, they get placed lower along, you know, electric power lines, and there's a lot of them. So people are very concerned not only about the aesthetics of it, but about the health. So there's going to be a forum on it. Please do come July 11th in the town of Cornwall.
And also another story on remembering Cornwall soldiers from the Civil War.
I'm always, as a newcomer here, surprised that people don't really talk about the Revolutionary War that much. They're very interested in the Civil War. So a student had done some research on the Civil War, and they have now begun work on putting a plaque up to remember soldiers from the Civil War. And interestingly, Major General John Sedgwick, a Cornwall native, the highest ranking officer killed in the entire Civil War. I looked that up. He wasn't just the highest ranking Cornwall person. He was the highest ranking officer killed in the Civil War.
All right. And, you know, Sharon, I have to, this next story. Sharon, to me, always had the best town website.
It's always had a good website.
It's always been updated, and they've done it themselves and stuff like that. And it really keeps you abreast of the information. Well, they finally going to farm it out to some business, which I've seen their websites. They do a good job, but it's going to and it's not going to be on the town server anymore, which is security for the town. But I still want to give Sharon thanks for, because their website really set the way for other websites in other towns.
Yeah, and a lot of towns still trying to get their website together, and we're so dependent as a newspaper now and being able to sort of check in on their site. Kent also has an exceptionally good one. But of course, Linda Amerigi, the town clerk who's been running the website, is going to continue to have to provide that information along with all the other pretty massive amount of work she does. So we'll look forward to seeing it, but it's going to be great, and we hope that it relieves her burden a little bit.
Oh, I think it was, and this group does do a pretty good job. Lots of obituaries.
My friend Bob Pauls is in there, and of course, the sad obituary for Stephen Wingard.
All right, we're going to go on to the opinion page. Janet, Sharon Hospital is critical for the region's resources.
Right. So what we're looking at here is a bit of the history of the ownership of the hospital, because we think it's become pretty confusing for a lot of our readers and, you know, us. So by all means, give it a read. If you find anything where you say, no, wait a minute, in that time about 8 years ago, I think it was this ownership, but we've tried to pull it together. We've kept watch on it over all that time, you know, and it's transitioned from nonprofit to for-profit to nonprofit again, and it's just been confusing for all involved, and that includes administration, staff, and patients. So give it a read and think about your hospital, and be sure to go to the meeting tonight to hear about what the Office of Health Strategies has to say about where Sharon Hospital is now and what we should expect from them.
All right, and you've got lots of letters from Lime Rock to the president obstructing justice. And also on the Viewpoint page, once again, Carol Asher is there, and other stories.
Right. Actually, we have two letters this week, and a very interesting one on Lime Rock Park discussing the sound that comes from there. And a really good letter. And Tony Peel on obstruction of justice. We have Matt Gordon on ideas for improving our villages, which is a big issue. You know, it goes right along with that Lime Rock letter. And Carol Asher writing about children and the trauma of immigration. She is an expert and, you know, wishes she didn't have to write about this so much. But this issue just gets worse and worse. We have Tom Shackman on When Dictators Meet, Hitler and Mussolini at the Brenner Pass, and very interesting remembrance from Gail Vinson of Salisbury, who remembers what it was like to be a child in England on and around D-Day. And her remembrances are just very evocative. Don't miss this one.
You know, and going back to the letter about Lime Rock, it's almost a lot like what you've done with your editorial this week about what's going on with Sharon Hospital. I'm going to moderate a forum on Wednesday, July 10th, at the Interlaken from 11 till 1, and people can show up. And with so many different stories out there and rumors about Lime Rock and the town of Salisbury and everything, you'll be able to show up and ask Skip Barber any question you want about the track. And legally what he can talk about with the track, with what's going on with the state of Connecticut and with Salisbury. It's not a forum where you can show up and pound your hand. If you've got a real question and you want real answers, you'll be able to go there. It's going to be 2 hours long, and it's absolutely free, and there's going to be some food there because you're going to have to give up your lunch to do it. But if you have any questions about what's going on in Lime Rock's view and you want to ask Skip Barber, that's a time that you'll be able to do it.
And also, Skip is going to be the speaker on Tuesday, July 2nd at the First Tuesdays at 7 lecture series at the South Canaan Meeting House in Falls Village, and he'll be talking about the history of the track, which is very interesting.
All right.
Yeah, so go to that and go to the meeting on July 10th. Really important issue, and so much better to be informed.
Well, it's like what you just said about the Sharon Hospital. There's so many other things that go into it. There's so many different moving parts to these stories that if you really want to speak to Skip and get it straight from him, it's the way to do it. All right.
I just want to add that you have to listen to come up with an informed opinion. And sometimes a forum like this, it can be really helpful because just reading different points of view, you don't know all the bits and pieces.
Bring your open mind.
That's right.
All right. Now, of course, Tri-Corner Real Estate is a big section for the paper this week.
Super lavish houses. Beautiful. It's just like, I love looking through it. It's like watching a movie for me. It's.
Did you buy me a house?
Yeah.
And right there, on Compass, the picture is great of Crazy for You, but if you ever look on Facebook and see the videos and pictures for the production of Crazy for You, we've had more people come to us and say they can't believe they saw what they saw inside the Sharon Playhouse.
And Day is calling this her special Sharon Playhouse issue because not only does she have a great review by Marston Epworth of Crazy for You, so and tonight I think it's going to be packed because
almost sold out. They only have like 15, 20 seats left.
Yeah, and it's the special $20 night, and there's a big group of us going actually, and so definitely go see it. It sounds so much more spry. I was kind of like when I was asked to come because a friend of mine is stage managing tonight. I was like, oh, okay. But when you read this review, you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, it sounds really good. And Marston, who's a wonderful reviewer and has her own wonderful writing style that's a pleasure to read on its own. And, of course, Duane Estes and Emily Seller in it. And then if you turn the page, Robert Levenstein, who's one of the directors of Sharon Playhouse now, and Emily Sell, who is a great writer and a marketing person, Sharon resident, talk about the history of it and how they came to this system they have now where they have professional theater people working with talented community members. And it's fun because you go and you see your friends in the show, but also you have, you know, the structure of the play is carried along by these young, enthusiastic, you know, go-getters. So it's exciting.
And Alan and Robert, in a year, have done an amazing turnaround with that playhouse. They just, as director and artistic director and managers, they've just done a great job.
They're never allowed to leave.
And Robert did the research for this history, celebrating 60 years of Sharon Playhouse. And, you know, that's amazing for a newcomer to the area who, you know, he's still pulling it all together there at the playhouse in an amazing way and took the time to do this. That's commitment. So don't miss this history. It's fascinating.
All right. We have about a minute left to wrap up. Compass.
Sophia Kaufman, who I like to take credit for her because she was my summer intern, but of course her parents really take the credit for her. She's the best, and she's a college graduate now and writing for Ann Day, and she's one of our favorite reviewers. And so she reviewed this movie that everybody is talking about now called Booksmart, and the actress Olivia Wilde, who I believe she was on House, and was great. And so she wrote this. She wrote and directed this film that everybody's talking about. And when you read Sophia's review of it, she just—it's one of those movies that I think every person in America can identify with. It's about being a teenager, and it's about these two girls who, you know, were sort of smugly book smart, and then realized that other kids were being book smart, but weren't making such a big deal about it, and were having fun. So they go out to have a wild night of partying, and she said, you know, it's the predictable high points, but it's just such a different, unusual, unique film, and wonderful soundtrack, wonderful actresses. So then Barbara Weiss is reviewing Tim Prentice's show of work at the Cornwall Library. We're so lucky to have we have so many world-class artists up here, but Tim really is very special. Show of his work at the Cornwall Library, and pieces are for sale, and Barbara, the reviewer, says, you'll want to own a piece or two. I do. Go buy one. So, gosh, I'd sure love to do that. I'm going to assume that they're probably more expensive, but I'm going to go check it out anyway because to own a piece of Tim Prentice would be extraordinary.
All right. Now, next week is July 4th.
Yes, we're going to be here.
Are you going to be here?
Yeah, I will.
If you want to be, Marshall, you may be having other programming. That's fine.
Well, we'll be here, so we'll have you guys on the air because the paper's going to be out.
Yeah.
It will be.
All right. Well, we'll speak to you guys next week.
Thank you so much.
All right. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robin Hood Radio. You'll find them on the web, tricornernews.com, also on Facebook.